Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There was an uproar a couple weeks ago about a government recommendation, new mammogram guidelines, that pushed the recommendation 10 years further. It's been 40 years. When a woman is age 40, the recommendation was from government health authorities that she get a baseline mammogram, and then annually after that, well, this new recommendation, a guideline by the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, suggests age 50, that the mammograms not start to age 50, and then every 2 years after that. And it caused an uproar, and I'm not an expert on these things, but I might have a different take than you might imagine. But I'd like to go to someone who is knowledgeable about this area of health. She is someone that Bob Inyart Live has looked to for many years for expert information about breast cancer, and especially the link to abortion. AbortionBreastCancer.com is an extraordinary site, and her name is Karen Malik. Karen, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Well, thank you. I'm just delighted to be with you today.
Karen, there's a couple new studies that we'll want to look at from countries around the world that are continuing this trend of showing that there's a link between abortion and breast cancer. But before we get to that, could we talk about the new mammogram guidelines and your take on them?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Our concern is that there are many women in their 40s who have no family history of breast cancer,
right,
but who were diagnosed with breast cancer after having their mammogram. And a lot of these cancers are being detected in this way. And a lot of these women, too, are mothers in the midst of raising children. You know, so they're women in their 40s still raising their kids.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the mammograms are really the only imaging test that we have that will detect calcifications. Mm. And the calcifications may be the only sign of the earliest, most curable type of breast cancer, which is called ductal cancer in situ, the stage zero cancers. Mm. And these are the really, really tiny, the earliest cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And the incidence of these early ductal carcinoma in situ, these early cancers in women under age 50, has climbed nearly 400% since 1975, and that's according to the National Cancer Institute's SEER data.
All right, now give us that again, because that's critical. Say that again, if you would, Karen Malik.
Okay, the incidence of the ductal cancers in situ, the ductal breast cancers in situ in women under age 50 has risen nearly 400% since 1975, according to the National Cancer Institute's SEER data, and yet the death rate from breast cancer has gone down over 50% since 1975 in these same women.
Mm.
So when breast cancer is found through mammography at its earliest stages, the cure rate is from 95 to 100%. The cure rate is very, very high. So women should not, number one, they shouldn't be afraid to go get a mammogram. A lot of women, a lot of people are afraid of hearing that diagnosis of breast cancer. But women should know that the death rate has gone down over 50% since 1975, and the cure rate is very, very high. It ranges
wow.
from 95 to 100%. So if they can catch those breast cancers very, very early and get it through the early detection techniques that we have, like mammography, their chances of sending that breast cancer into remission, their chances are very, very high. Our concern is that women are just not going to be diagnosed at an early stage if they don't continue to have those mammograms in their 40s.
All right. And, of course, that makes sense. Now, when you said the 400% increase since 1975, even though treatment and survival is thanks to, you know, extraordinary advances in understanding, detecting, and treating breast cancer at these early stages, how about the 400% increase since 1975 in this particular kind of cancer that you're talking about, in situ? That's how I've always pronounced that. But in ductal, what are you referring to? What kind of breast cancer is this?
Well, ductal cancers, these would be the cancers that start in the type 1 lobules. See, most breast cancers, it's 95 to 97% of all the breast cancers start in the type 1 and the type 2 lobules. And these are the lobules that, lobules that the woman has before she has a first full-term pregnancy are type 1 and 2 lobules. And these are the very immature lobules, cancer-susceptible lobules that women have before first full-term pregnancy. Nearly all of the lobules are type 1 and 2. And these lobules then mature into permanently cancer-resistant lobules, which we call type 4 lobules, by the end of first full-term pregnancy, 85% of lobules are permanently cancer-resistant type 4 lobules.
By the end of the first pregnancy?
By the end of first full-term pregnancy, not just pregnancy,
but
because
full-term.
A little bit of pregnancy does not offer that protection.
Hmm.
It's first full-term pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've lost my train of thought
I'm following, and I appreciate this. So this ductal breast cancer that starts in type 1 lobules has skyrocketed. In fact, the cancer that starts in type 1 and type 2 lobules, I don't have the stats in front of me. I've gone through your website over the years, but as a general rule, breast cancer has exploded its prevalence since, not only in America since we decriminalized abortion, but around the world as you go region by region, country by country. When they decriminalize abortion, women begin to suffer breast cancer in increasing epidemic numbers.
Well, this is true, and there was a study that was conducted, one of many, many studies, I have to add, a study that was conducted in 2007, and this was on 8 European countries. And the conclusions were that the best predictor of future breast cancer rates is induced abortion, and a secondary predictor is fertility level in those nations. So this is actually an actuary, an insurance actuary and statistician who showed that using a mathematical model and by plugging in a nation's breast cancer rates and primarily using that statistic but also relying secondarily on fertility rates, by plugging that information into the mathematical model, he could successfully predict future breast cancer rates for England and Wales by using those two statistics.
So, Karen, let me repeat that. When he plugs in abortion statistics and fertility mm-hmm. rates, then he could predict future breast cancer incidents.
Yes, with nearly 100% accuracy. He proved that he could do this for the years 2003, 2004 for England and Wales.
The British journal Lancet, and Karen Malik, anybody could find this out. They could get the specific site at your website, abortionbreastcancer.com. But in 1986, that's not back in the dark ages, that's in 1986, government scientists wrote a letter to the British journal Lancet, that's like our American Journal of Medicine, they acknowledged that abortion is a cause of breast cancer. They wrote, quote, induced abortion before first-term pregnancy increases the risk of breast cancer, unquote.
That's right. And Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, who is a breast cancer surgeon, and she's assistant clinical assistant professor of surgery at the Robert Wood Johnson Medical Center in New Jersey, she has testified under oath that she's had private conversations with leading representatives from leading organizations, leading medical organizations, who have said to her privately, they know that abortion raises breast cancer risk, but they will not speak about it publicly because they fear the repercussions.
Mm.
They fear the consequences that result from that.
Right. It's political.
It's political courage. It's a lack of political courage.
Right.
It's fear
it has...
of losing one's job, losing one's the perks of one's job, fear of loss of government grant money.
It has nothing to do with women's health. It has nothing to do with women dying of breast cancer. It has only to do with going along with the aggressive child-killing agenda in our country and much of the world, which is ultimately a rebellion against our Creator God to advocate the so-called right to kill children in the womb. But bucking that now and then are medical organizations, researchers. Back in 2003, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons issued a statement calling on doctors to inform patients about, quote, a highly plausible relationship between abortion and breast cancer.
That's right. And eight other medical organizations have also acknowledged that abortion raises breast cancer risk independently of a second way that it raises risk, and that is through the loss of the protective effect of full-term pregnancy. As I said a few minutes ago, a full-term pregnancy is the only event in a woman's life that matures 85% of her cancer-susceptible breast lobules into permanently cancer-resistant lobules. Every subsequent pregnancy after that, not just a little bit of pregnancy, but every subsequent full-term pregnancy after that brings down breast cancer risk another 10%, because it gives that woman more cancer-resistant breast tissue.
In fact, you said earlier, you said the type 1 lobules, type 2 lobules are immature, and that's actually the correct technical term. You know, we go through puberty, we reach adulthood, and we think that our bodies are now mature, but that is not true for a woman until she has gone through a full-term first pregnancy. Then her body is mature.
That's right. And I would just like to encourage your listeners to go to our September 8, 2009 press release, which is at abortionbreastcancer.com. They're going to have to scroll down about halfway down the page to find their press releases. But go to that September 8th press release. There is a marvelous explanation from Dr. Angela Lanfranchi, the breast cancer surgeon, showing why different pregnancy outcomes influence breast cancer risk. And she says in this paper that she wrote for a journal, a medical journal called the Linacre Quarterly, she says in that paper that back in 1945, when the atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the women who went on to develop breast cancer were the women who'd not had first full-term pregnancy.
Wow.
The women who did go on to develop breast cancer were the women who did not have first full-term pregnancy. Those who had children were protected from the radiation exposure to the breast. They were protected from breast cancer.
And that was at Nagasaki?
Nagasaki and Hiroshima. The women who had babies, and especially who were breastfeeding their babies, were not likely, they were not the ones to develop breast cancer.
Wow.
And so the worst time in a woman's life to be exposed to a cancer-causing agent, such as radiation, excessive amounts of radiation, or cigarette smoking, or to have an abortion, or to use the birth control pill or other hormonal contraceptives, the worst time is before first full-term pregnancy, because that's when her breasts, nearly all of the breast lobules, are
right.
highly cancer susceptible.
All right. And could I just clarify something you just said, Karen?
Sure.
The worst time for a German to kill a Jewish child is any time. So you're right about the worst time for a woman to be exposed to radiation is before she's had a full-term pregnancy. But I wouldn't say
right.
the worst time for her to have an abortion is then, because it's always the worst time, because you're killing a child.
Well, it is, but biologically speaking.
Well, yeah, but I don't think I'm splitting hairs. I think it's just wiser for us to remind everyone we speak to that we're talking about killing a child, and there's never
right,
a better
right.
time or a worse time to kill a child.
Well, let me put it to you this way.
Yeah.
When Dr. Joel Brand and his colleagues at Penn State University mm-hmm. did a review of all the worldwide research that had been published, the worldwide epidemiological studies, which show epidemiology just shows a statistical relationship between an exposure and a risk. So a risk of developing a disease. So in other words, an exposure might be smoking cigarettes and the risk is lung cancer. Epidemiology shows that more cigarette smokers go on to develop lung cancer later on in life.
Right.
Now, these studies that Dr. Brin looked at, there were 23 studies. 18 of them showed risk increases for women who'd had abortions. In other words, there was a statistical correlation there. Now, we have not just a statistical correlation, but we also have biological evidence, a lot of biological evidence and animal research to show that abortion raises breast cancer risk. Dr. Brand and his colleagues concluded, after looking at the worldwide epidemiological studies, that the woman who has an abortion before first full-term pregnancy, her risk goes up by 50% if she's in the general population and she's not in a high-risk group, like having a family history of the disease.
Mm-hmm.
If she has her abortion after first full-term pregnancy, her risk goes up 30%. Now, in our population, the average American woman already has a high breast cancer risk.
Mm.
You know, she has a high lifetime risk. About 1 in 8 women in the United States develops breast cancer later in life. Now, when you increase that risk, that lifetime risk, by just a small percent of, say, 30% because she's had an abortion.
And you said a small percent, but that's a pretty huge percent when you're talking epidemiologically.
Well, now scientists call it a small increase. And
they do.
That is accurate. But when you increase an already high breast cancer risk by just a small percent, then that means many thousands more women are going to develop breast cancer than
sure.
would otherwise have developed it.
Right.
So it's kind of like having a giant size pie, which could be compared to the average lifetime risk for, you know, the average American woman.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a giant size pie and you increase your piece of the pie by just a small percentage, you're getting a lot more pie to eat.
Mm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Whereas if your pie is very, very small,
mm-hmm.
like an individual Entenmann size serving,
right.
and take like 1/4 of that pie and you increase it by a small percent, you're getting a pretty small piece of pie.
Mm.
I hope you understand the comparison that I'm making.
Yeah, I do.
If you go to a country like Japan, where they have a low lifetime risk, and you increase their low lifetime risk by a small percentage, that's like the Entenmann's individual pie
mm-hmm.
type of thing. Okay, you're not going to have as many extra breast cancer cases in a country like Japan as you will in a country like the United States, simply because our lifetime risk is much higher.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Joel Brind, he's an endocrinologist at Baruch College, and
right.
his specialty, he was there at the meeting of the American Cancer Society when they said that abortion is not a risk factor to breast cancer.
That was the National Cancer Institute's workshop in 2003.
Thank you.
He was present at that workshop.
Thank you. The National Cancer Institute's workshop. Thank you for that. And Karen, he's pointed out on this show that there simply was no evaluation of the medical research, the science. It was a purely political decision by a pro-choice bureaucracy, and he was a dissenting voice, and he was there loaded with science and studies from around the world, from the U.S., and they were uninterested in the science, in the data.
That's right, and most of the experts, most of the scientists that attended, that were invited to that workshop, had never studied the abortion breast cancer link.
Hmm.
And even those scientists whose own research showed risk increases for women who'd had abortions. There were a couple of scientists like that. They were afraid to say that abortion does raise risk because they depend on government grant money. They
right.
were afraid.
Right.
They told Dr. Brind they feared the loss of their government grant money if they spoke out.
And Karen, for them as individuals, they will stand before God. And do you know how despicable it is to be willing to be used to lie to women so that you keep getting your paycheck? I mean, that is as
cowardly.
Despicable. Yeah. Yeah. And in the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus, when he speaks about those who are in hell, there's a list. And the first group are the cowards, he said. It's pretty despicable to allow women to be lied to because you're concerned about your paycheck, your career. And we're talking about life and death. The baby is killed every time. The woman's health is often compromised. So in America, is it the American Cancer Society that does say affirmatively that having a baby is a positive factor in reducing your chance of getting breast cancer?
You're absolutely right, and this is where the deception comes in. You see, all of the experts, including those at the American Cancer Society, admit that the younger a woman is when she has her first full-term pregnancy, the lower her breast cancer risk is. And so what that means is if you've got two women who, let's say, are 17 years of age, they're childless, and they find themselves pregnant for the first time, and one of those women goes on to have an abortion, the other woman has a first full-term pregnancy. Who has the greater breast cancer risk?
The Planned Parenthood customer.
Right, exactly. And there's no debate about that among experts. And in fact, when you get these experts on the witness stand and they have to testify under oath, they admit that the woman who has the abortion has a higher breast cancer risk than the woman who has a baby. And that's because childbearing is known to protect women from breast cancer. Doctors are not telling women this, and they're legally obligated to do it.
Karen, we're almost out of time. There are two recent studies from Turkey and China Could you tell us about those in 60 seconds?
Yes, both of those studies reported statistically significant increases in risk, in breast cancer risk, for women who have abortions. The Chinese study said, well, they found a 17% increase in breast cancer risk for women in China who have abortions. In the Turkish study, they found a 66% increase in risk for women who have abortions. In both of those studies, and we do link, we provide citations for them in our November 11th and our July 28th, 2009 press releases. Both of those studies, our expert, Dr. Joel Brin, says they underestimated the breast cancer risk of abortion.
China is as pro-abortion as you can be, and the and the Turkish government is interested in being admitted into the European Union, and they're going to have to be pro-choice to have that happen. So there's these incredible political pressures to do evil.
That's right. But the point here is when you get studies that have been conducted outside of the purview or the range of the National Cancer Institute, they show the truth.
Wow. Hey, Karen Malik, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you so much.
You're welcome.
May God bless
you. Thank you.
It's abortionbreastcancer.com, Karen Malik, and the petition drive in Colorado is going great. Please help. God bless you.